Okay, then if you open your Bibles with me to Exodus 20, verse 16. We're up to the ninth of the Ten Commandments. Let's all stand as we read the word of our Lord then. Verse 17, rather. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let's pray. Our Father, as your word is truth, as God is truth, as Jesus Christ is the way and the truth, we pray, Lord, that this would be the testimony of our lives. Make these words real to us now, that we can be a proper witness of you and love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, when our Lord Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law of God? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, the most important. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. As we've seen previously, the first four of the Ten Commandments are what we call vertical. That is, they have to do directly with how we are relate to God. God must come first, nothing else before God, no other false gods or anything else before him. We are not to worship idols or try to worship the true God through an idol. We are not to misuse and take his name in vain. And he is to be our Sabbath rest. In order to have salvation and to be reconciled with God, one must cease from trying to make themselves righteous and rest in the finished work of what Jesus has done to save us. And of course, we took principles on that Sabbath command for the Lord's Day. So those first four of the Ten Commandments are what we call vertical, in that they deal with how we are to relate to God. As our Lord Jesus said, they can be summed up in the first and greatest command, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. But then the second half of the table of the law of these Ten Commandments are what we call horizontal. That is, they deal with how we are to relate to our fellow man. Of course, as we've seen, it's not separate from how we relate to God, because how we relate to our fellow man implies how we relate to God also. But those, they deal with how we relate to other people. Honor your father and your mother. We saw that this has further application for honoring those and respecting all who are in authority. Do not murder or hate them in your heart. Do not commit adultery, which of course extends to not even to lust after someone. You're not supposed to, or you're guilty of committing adultery in the heart. Do not steal from people. You see, these all have to do with our relationship to our neighbor. And they can be summed up in the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These horizontal commands, you see, are all part of loving your neighbor. As the Apostle Paul said, when you love someone, you don't steal or life from them. When you love your neighbor, you're not going to commit adultery with his wife, and therefore, by truly loving someone, you fulfill the law. And so this ninth command now, as does the tenth that, Lord willing, we'll consider next week, also has to do with what it is to love our neighbor as ourselves. This one tells us in the command itself, doesn't it? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So it's in our relationship with other people. Now, you may notice the setting here of this command is in a courtroom. Someone being a witness and giving a testimony before a judge. And so the command here is not to falsely accuse someone. Not bring a false accusation against someone. Now, like the other commands, its application is broader than this. It of course speaks of lying and falsehood that unjustly harms others in every sense. You know, it's just like with the other commands. It starts with the big thing first, doesn't it? You know, like the command not to murder, as our Lord told us, it implies not to hate and murder them in your heart. And the command not to commit adultery, our Lord said, also implies not even to do it in the imagination. Well, the biggest form of the sin is listed first in the command, isn't it? Obviously, to actually physically murder someone or to physically commit adultery is the biggest form of that sin that's listed first. And so it is with this command, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You see, this applies to all telling lies, but obviously the biggest form of lie and the most serious, especially in the ancient world, would be to stand up in a courtroom before a judge and falsely accuse someone. Because that would put someone's livelihood or even life in danger. In the ancient world, there was no CCTV, DNA, or fingerprint evidence like we have today, so trial mostly depended on the testimony of witnesses. And so, if two people stood up before a judge and falsely accuse you, I mean, you could be in serious trouble. There are many examples in Scripture, of course, of this, of people giving false testimony. In 1 Kings 21, you have when Naboth there refused to sell his vineyard to King Ahab. King Ahab's wicked wife, Jezebel, falsely accused the man by forging letters, which led to the man being executed by her false testimony. All done so they could steal a piece of land. At the trial of our Lord Jesus, he was falsely accused. The Apostle Paul faced false accusations against him. All these were things that were to lead to the death penalty. I mean, it's serious, isn't it? To give false accusations to put someone to death. And the heart of man has not changed, though. I mean, even today, of course, you know, time and time again in the news, we see cases where it's later been found out that someone has just given a false testimony in court all those years ago. And someone has spent half their lifetime in prison. And the person has done that just in order to receive some compensation. You know, there have even been rape trials where a man has been found guilty, imprisoned, had his life and reputation ruined, and it's later turned out completely false, and the woman only did it to try and get money or for some twisted-minded power trip. But even when the man is then released, after his innocence has been proved, after missing part of his life and having his reputation ruined, there are still people insisting, well, he must have been really guilty. You know, this is the damage. It's happened with murder trials also. Even police falsifying evidence sometimes. There's cases of that. You know, there was a case in Rochdale in the borough, and this happened in part of Middleton, in Langley, I think it was, where lots of families lost their children. And it turned out later, much later, many years later, that the social workers had given false evidence. I mean, that's stooping pretty low, isn't it? Breaking this command and taking children off people. So the heart of man has not changed. This is something, as we'll see more as we'll go on, I mean, it just pollutes society in general. You see, as our Lord Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. As Christians, as God's people, we should be men and women of our word. Because God is truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. So if we want to represent him, we need to be truthful ourselves. You know, one thing you could, if you want to not break this command, be careful of when you're volunteering for things you can't do without thinking. Yeah, I'll do that, don't worry, I'll do that, and I'll do that. And then you have to later go back on your word, or later you have to put back someone else's. You have to avoid some other responsibility that you're supposed to do in order to do. And this command forbids slandering others, that is, spreading false reports about others, or unsubstantiated reports. Proverbs is full of warnings not to listen to slanderers and malicious gossips. You know, just to sit there silent and to take it in can make you almost as guilty as the one doing all the slandering. And you have to be on your guard, don't you? Be careful. You know, many times people can be smooth talkers. They know just how to prick your ears up. As the Proverbs warns, you know, gossip and slander goes down like tasty trifles. Like Gainer's trifle at the mealtime. You want another bowl, and then you could have another bowl. I did that once, and then after about my fourth bowl, I went home and thought, I wish I never did that. Not that it wasn't nice, Gainer, but four bowls is just ridiculous. In fact, I've never done it again. But people's reputations, the reputation of a business has been ruined by slanderers, by people spreading false report. I mean, when you think of politicians today and how politics is run, I mean, the big way to try and win an election today is to bring as much slander about the rival candidate as possible. The dirtier and the lower you can go, the better. Well, we need to be careful we don't get involved and mixed up in this as Christians. You know, there is so much on social media today. And as Christians, we don't want to be involved in quickly spreading things like this. You know, recently in America, one of the big media news giants there was caught red-handed, making up fake news in order to try and harm and bring down people they disagree with. You know, we live in a world, though, don't we, today, of trial by social media, with people jumping to conclusion, case closed in their minds, before all the facts are established. Well, as Christians, we don't want to break this command. We need to be able to step back and say, well, it looks bad for sure, but let's wait and see. You know, once the inquiry has been done and all the facts have been properly examined, if there's more. You know, there are many times a news reporter will spread a false report and it gets tweeted, retweeted, shared on Facebook X number of thousands of times. And then a few hours later, he will later correct himself. Well, actually, it wasn't actually true, and it'll be retweeted like 10 times. Because a slander and a false report spreads a lot faster than the other, doesn't it? But the damage has been done. It's already been shared. You know, it's common today to read a news headline, and you think, wow, that's bad, and you read like a brief report, what the person supposedly has said or did. But then when you read the actual story and what he said or she said and what happened, you're like, it doesn't even relate to the article, to the headline. But most people don't actually read the article themselves and weigh up the facts. They just kind of scan the headline and the brief outline and then share it with others. The damage has been done to them and it will be done to others. So what I'm saying is we need to be careful as Christians we don't get involved in slander like that and spreading all these slanderous reports. You know, this happens in our day in business reviews. You know, sometimes a business can depend on good and bad customer reviews today on things like Google, eBay, and Facebook and other things. Now, this is with good intentions, of course, and it's helpful if you're looking to deal with someone and purchase a product from a business you don't know or know little about. I mean, you want to see the 5 stars there, don't you, and good recommendations. You want to know they're reliable and up to standard. But this often gets abused with people making false complaints to try and get something free or discounted. Sometimes people will even write a bad review just because they're in a bad mood or just want to be nasty for the sake of it. And it can do a lot of serious harm. This can affect the livelihood of others. You know, sometimes people on these kind of media things will give churches bad reviews just out of trying to cause harm. You see, as Christians, we don't want to be involved in any of this. But another way this command can be broken is, of course, putting on a spiritual show like the Pharisees. That's to give false witness. Remember the Pharisees, who our Lord rebuked them, because when they fasted, they would paint their faces white with makeup just to let everyone know, make themselves look a bit more sickly. They probably only skipped a meal. Oh. They would pray long prayers. So people would think, wow, they're holy. If only I could pray like that. How do they ever get time to do anything? If they pray so long. Long prayers in public. You know, I'm not rebuking prayer as long as you like on your own. But they would do long prayers in public. And when they gave, they would even blow a trumpet. It's like, you know, Rabbi so-and-so is giving X amount of thousands of pounds to the temple. Hey! You see, they did the so-called righteous deeds to be seen by men. They did everything for the praise of men. So people would think, wow, they are holy men. When they were in fact just religious and lost. You see, putting on a show there, giving false testimony. You know, this happened, didn't it, with the case of Ananias and Sapphira, early on in the book of Acts there, when they sold their land and the house, I think it was, and they broadcasted to everyone that they had given all the proceeds to the church, when in fact they had only given half to the church and kept half back for themselves. Now, the big sin in question there was not that they did not give everything to the church. They sold all that land, if they'd have given half to the church and kept half back. I mean, that would have been a noble thing to give away there. But the sin was that Ananias and Sapphira, they were bragging and boasting to others, well, we've given everything to the church, when they had not. You see, they were lying in order to make others think how spiritual they were. And of course, the Lord struck them dead. He wasn't too impressed. This breaking this command can happen in bragamonies. You know what a bragamony is? A bragamony is someone gives a testimony before the church on how they became a Christian. And they start exaggerating about how bad their old life was and playing to the crowd. Because they, you know, in some circles, the more worse you was, then the more spiritual you must be now, and so they want kind of applause. You know, we had a succession of people in the past at one time who would go on about all how they were big-time drug dealers. And what they really meant is they got some really minor drugs once for the brother of someone on one occasion. But they exaggerate because they want to appear as this big-time criminal. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought, I hope it doesn't. As I can't stand bragamies, but if it happens again, I might say to the person, you know, now that you're a Christian, you need to go and confess all this to the police and do the time for the crime. And if you don't, well, I've got you recorded on testimony. I wonder how long it would take them to admit it was false and they was exaggerating. You know, we had someone once give testimony and going on about his former lifestyle of crime, he started going about how I had girls on each arms and By the way, all these Bragamines have always proved false people, or they've left the church with, you know, been greatly concerned about them. So it's not a good sign. But you see, where's the shame there in the former sins? You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 6:21 of our former lives before being truly converted, ashamed of those things. Where's the shame when people are boasting about those things in the testimony? I mean, when the Apostle Paul himself spoke of his former sins, he would say, you know, formerly I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and so forth. He was not descriptive in what he did formerly, and there's no sense of boasting there, is there? I mean, you feel the shame. I mean, he even says that, doesn't he? He says, because of all these things, I consider myself the least worthy in becoming a Christian. I am the chief of sinners. Never mind that God would make me an apostle. You know, I remember when I've given testimony in the past, I've just said, and all I could say, you know, is things shameful to speak of. Not going into description and certainly not bragging. I remember Lloyd-Jones once saying of two men who got up before a testimony in a circle like that where they kind of cheer how the more wicked someone has been. And he said one man got up and he was going on about he did this sin and this sin and this sin and how awful it was. And just as Lloyd-Jones said, he was thinking, well, he couldn't be anyone worse than this. He said the next man got up and he says, well, when you compare him to what I did, that guy's an angel. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? You know, another way this can be done is when people ask you when you are, or like in a pastoral visit, you know, interviewing about how people are, and you're talking with people about the walk with the Lord, and you're thinking, wow, you can teach Spurgeon or Amy Michael a thing or two. Or how, you ask someone how the marriage is going. You think, well, these need to be teaching marriage classes. You know, again, those things that people are asking, trying to help, it doesn't help by being dishonest. You know, I remember a couple once we had who, after getting into the whole courtship thing, they had told others in the church how, you know, they'd come to me for permission to marriage and things like that, and going around about how godly they were and how godly they've done everything, trying to appear spiritual. And when I later found out about it, I was thinking, that didn't happen. They came to me. I mean, not that anyone asked to come and ask me, but, you know, they came to me and said, look, we're getting married, like it or lump it. And I shared a list of concerns, but again, the problem was going to others with a completely false, you know, to try and appear spiritual. You see, by putting on a front can break this command. You have others who break this command by being like talkative in Pilgrim's Progress, who can talk theology all day long and in order to pretend how spiritual they are before others. I remember Ryan Fullerton saying about that a couple of years ago. He says, I get really concerned for someone when they're like a theological windbag and they're just kind of pouring out all this theology and you're like, whew, if only I could be as holy as you are. But they never talk about normal life and Christianity, because normal life is where Christianity is lived. You know, people can do all that and have a life void of God. And you can slander someone in your head or maybe tell others and break this command by assuming, well, someone doesn't like you or they've got it in for you when you don't really have any proper evidence. You know, you think, well, they didn't smile at me this morning. That's because they have something against me. Well, that could be the reason. I mean, they may not like you. They may have something against you. Or they could just be a miserable person in general. Or they could just be in a world of their own, thinking about something completely different when they do that. So you don't want to be jumping to conclusions there. Or, you know, just if you're in doubt, just go and ask them. And, you know, was that what you're thinking of? I mean, maybe they'll say, No, sorry about that, and it's all cleared up. So we don't want to be like this as Christians. You know, this is one of the six things the Lord hates. Seven are abomination to him, a false witness that breathes out lies. The devil, of course, is the father of lies. So this is not something we want to emulate as Christians. As we said, our God is truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. You know, another way, of course, people can break this command is by spreading false doctrine. Things that do not reflect the Lord as he truly is. It's giving lies to others, isn't it? A false report of God. You see, the damage, though, this can do, you know, by lies and slander. I mean, churches have been divided, even split, because of such evil. People having their minds poisoned so they cannot listen because of such things. So let's pray, and then, Lord willing, next time we'll look at this 10th command, do not covet. Our Father, I pray you'd help us to be a people of truth. Keep us from evil, from slander. Help our yes to be yes and our no be no. I pray, Lord, you'd help us in just with all so much around us in this world to be lights. In this case, where people can see us, I think what a fragrance and a good testimony this could be. That people around us could lie on us, not to be slandering them. In Jesus' name, amen.